God's grace, his mercy, and his peace are ours from God the Father and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our hearing on the glue of the family church is taken from Ephesians chapter 4. Select the verses from 1 through 16. We'll read them off the screens. Paul writes as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the amazing, deep word of our God, dear friends in Christ. So were you the kid who always had to be first? And you had the personality to claim it? And are you deep down still that same kid? Me first. And how's that working for you? Or were you the kid who was always right, smug, arrogant? You didn't necessarily have the personality to claim it, but you've lived a lot of years just in judgment of others, thinking that you know best, me first. How's that working for us? Or are you still the kid that needs to be reminded to say thank you and to put others first? Is your agenda for the day the most important? And I'll help you if the return is good for me. Me first. How well is that working for us if that is our only contribution to this world? I have a bit of a nostalgic view of my childhood. Though I know a bit more now about my extended family than I once did, my growing years on the family farm are still one of the greatest gems of God's gift of life to me. I love my extended family, though most of the older generation is now with Jesus as I speak. But why do I love them so? Well, it is because of the glue that kept us together. Every Sunday morning, my grandpa would pull the car out of the garage 35 minutes before church, and he would sit in that car waiting for the rest of us, a man of few words, but boy, did he speak a mouthful. On those Sundays, Jesus is the heart of this family. He comes first. And my grandma, well, she lived that love by her life. Her gift was hospitality and service. And so when we would pull up, beds were made, fresh apple crisp was on the kitchen counter, as she welcomed us once again to the farm for another weekend. That's how my grandma rolled. Service and love. I can't wait to see her in heaven and to thank her for you before me, the love she learned from Jesus, the glue that still binds us together, the source of all the love. Paul addresses that humility and service. He begins by saying, "As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble, gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all." Do you think that God struggles to have time for us? You before me? I would think that if anyone had a lot on his plate, it's the Lord of the universe. A lot of things on his plate, on his mind, besides you and me. Maybe it's a bit arrogant of me to think that God, that my needs should pop off of God's page of to-do lists, but that's exactly what happens. You see, when we read the Bible, God seems pretty focused on us. When we began our discussion of the family church, the Spirit of God reminded us that before the creation of the world, God chose us to be his own, to make us perfect and holy through the forgiveness of sin. We were reminded that the triune God planned our salvation and together has worked it out and has told us, "I so loved the world that I gave and sent my Son." And the Bible says that in all things, across the planet, each and every day, God is at work. I think his day planner is pretty full. So to assist him in his work, he gave us this book. Two covenants, 66 smaller books, written by 42-ish men over 1,500 years, Law and Gospel, Accountability and Grace, focused and resolved at the cross, where Jesus was focused on you and me. "Father, forgive them." Oh, and prior to the cross, the Lord of the universe washed some pretty gnarly feet, the feet of his disciples, that we would be able to picture for ourselves what service looks like and what the heart of a servant looks like. "You before me," says the humble king, "and through faith in me, I have made you members of the family of God for eternity, but also for here in time, that you may serve with humility and with love in this life, just as I have served you." And so he would say, "Listen to my servant Paul," when he encourages you to live a life worthy of your calling. You see, our God was humble and patient and loving and forgiving of us that we might live his legacy still in this world. When Satan entered the Garden of Eden, the perfect physical creation knew for the first time a different, contrary spirit. The creator only blesses, the deceiver spoils. The creator puts you first. The deceiver only and always is me only, me only. The creator is freeing. The deceiver enslaves. When visitors walk into this church, or when visitors walk into your home, or when friends and colleagues walk into your space, wherever that is in life, at work or wherever, do they find or do they sense a different spirit here in your life than they find out there in the world? Is your welcome authentic? An authentic welcome with no agenda, no hope to get something for yourself? Is your interest in me genuine, with no hope to benefit? In your family church, in your circle of friends, when you walk into the room, if you come into a conversation, do they sense a different spirit in you? Do you typically exude joy and ooze optimism? Is how are you doing a real question with active listening going on after you ask the question? I pray that is so for all of us. And then we have to ask the question, why are we different than the world? Well, Paul would say that it is because of the Spirit who is in us, God's Spirit. The Spirit that is in us, that is in this family at St. Paul's, the Spirit that fills this room right now. One body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It is the Spirit of God that reminds us every Sunday that our physical life is only because of the Creator, that our eternal life is only because of the Savior, and that our spiritual life, our walk of faith, is only because of God's Spirit living within us. God's service to us is the glue that has created this family and that keeps all of our families together. He humbles us as He models for us, you before me, the glue of church and the glue of family church. But what is it that fractures the family? Cousins that are always fighting, brothers that no longer speak, spouses that no longer love, friends who once were but no longer are. Children who are seeking safety and security in the wrong places and the wrong people because the right people failed in their role as parents before God. What is it that fractures the family? Well, somehow it's me. Me before you. Now, don't get me wrong. The fracture in family could be the me in me. Or it could be the me in you. Sometimes the sins of others can break and fracture the family deeply and cleanly. But if I am the me who is causing the break, then it's upon me as a child of God to repent of my sin, to seek forgiveness in God my Savior, and then come to you for forgiveness, putting you first ahead of me. And if you are the me that is causing the break, then the same goes for you. And whichever me among us is the cause of the break, of the problem, then the family church addresses it. To the glory of our God, that the Spirit again may bind us together with a spirit of grace and forgiveness and of love, you always before me. How that happens, Paul begins to describe for us when he says, now to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ, as each part does its work. You before me is how the family church operates. It's who we are. But then you and I, by God's grace, get to recognize my role, my roles, our roles in that family church. And may God give us the grace to know and to recognize how he has called us to serve and where he has placed us to serve. But I ask you, how far-reaching is the family church? Well, from Paul's words, Jesus intends our roles for him to stretch as far in life as he gives us the opportunity. Thursday and Friday, I was in Delaware, serving family church in a way that was really easy, serving my daughter and her family, wrestling with my grandson, reading the book Muddy Paws to my granddaughter, conversations with my daughter, cramming their fridge and their countertop full of fun things and fun foods they normally don't buy for themselves, blessing them all in the name of the Lord at bedtime at night, family church, the easy and the fun. But then there was the cashier at Walmart as I was shopping. Bright and cheery, friendly, warmed my heart. And then I could assist her by helping her identify the acorn squash that I was buying. And then actually helping her find the product code on the sheet for acorn squash. And it was a friendly exchange. And I almost wanted to ask her, are you a Christian? Are you a part of God's family? Because I could just sense his spirit in her. And then I met a sister in Christ who also warmed my heart, brought joy to my family church. Her name is Misty, M-I-S-D-E-E, Misty. A little Southern going on there. A friend and co-worker of my daughter, who was an encourager for her, and a prayer warrior, and always saying to her, call me anytime, because you know, after all, we are his hands and his feet, and we have to remind each other to plug into our God. And I thought to myself, wow, I love this person. You before me at work, family church, way out here in Delaware. And then I thought, how awesome are our roles in God's plan. All of us called to equip and to train and to build up the body of Christ in the exact places that he has planted us. Do you ponder every day that you and I are here in our lives with God's intent to build toward a tomorrow that is forever? We are not here to build up our kids for high-paying jobs, though that might happen. We are here to build up our children for eternal life spent forever in the presence of God through the blessing of Jesus Christ. We are not here to make friends so that we have friends and things to do here in time, or to create a network that will line our wallets. No, we are here to add brothers and sisters to the family of God, and to build them up that they too may be with us in the presence of God because of Jesus Christ. And that they also may have a more peaceful journey through this life with God's forgiveness and his promises and his accompanying them down the road of life, quite often through his people, people just like you and me, the hands and feet of Jesus. So on Thursday, a portion of my family church enjoyed one of the best days on God's planet that I've ever spent. A beautiful beach on the Atlantic Ocean, enjoying God's blessings with building sandcastles with my grandchildren, teaching my grandson the awesomeness of waves of the ocean at high tide, body surfing in those waves with my daughter, and then watching dolphins just off the shore for about 45 minutes. But the most beautiful part of family church that day was the drive to the beach. We're driving along, and my just-turned-three grandson, Matt, says, Mommy, put on Papa's sermon, the one about Samson. And all of a sudden, with great unease at first, and then emotion and joy, I hear my own voice coming through the speakers of the car. And there's little Matt in his car seat in the back, holding on to his mom's iPhone, watching the bridge, and watching the whole thing, and shouting out his favorite lines that I have long ago forgotten. And I thought of my daughter, and of family church, and of this family church, St. Paul's, 2,700 of us, with a mighty reach by the grace of God. From this sanctuary to our homes, to Walmart's, from here to Delaware, from our hearts to our children's hearts, to the hearts of our grandchildren, into eternity. Our family church, oh, we have some rough paths, and there are some tough moments and some tough battles. But as we build each other up to know Jesus better and to cling to his love, we begin to recognize more and more what our purpose is. Aaron Miller, well, he showed us the way in our opening video. to serve each other where God has placed us, how he has gifted us, and for his purposes. You before me is the love of our Jesus, and it is our salvation. And the better we know him, the more blessed is Family Church. I have a new friend in this life because of this Family Church, St. Paul. I will call her Mary. She came to visit us twice in the last year and a half, the last two Good Fridays. And she sat at this family table in this room, and she loved the food that she received. And then she sat through the encouraging and equipping and training class known as Following the Promise, and she loved God's people. She loves the spirit of this place. She loves the family church. She loves Jesus. This Jesus in Scripture is new to her, and it's exciting to her. But she is stuck to him for eternity. And she wants to be stuck to this congregation, to this family. Now, I don't believe that she has actually been here yet for regular worship. Because you see, in her family, there are some hurts that run deep. But here, she has learned about the love of Jesus. And he has cut deep into her soul with his love. And has told and has healed the emotion and the spiritual and some of the physical hurts deep in her soul by giving to her his forgiveness, his love, his mercy. He has said to her, "You before me is how I love." And she has said to him, "I love that about you. And I love that in your people. You before me, it's the glue of Family Church. Let's keep on living that way. Let's keep on loving that way, that Jesus and his love may be known, that you before me is who we are. For then our families are blessed, God's families are blessed, and people will join our ranks each and every day for time and for eternity. Amen." Please stand. And now may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard our hearts, our minds, our families, our church, to his glory.